great thou art. Thank you so much for singing tonight and taking us to the thoughts that will help us as we look at the goodness of God and the grandeur and wonder of our Lord. Well, let's look in your Bibles, if you would, tonight for Psalm 146. Psalm 146, you'll remember last week we did a section of this Bible study, the last installment on our praise series, and trust it's been a blessing to you. But I want you to look at Psalm 146, and there's so much in the Psalms about praising God, and we could be here for a long, long time, but we'll end probably tonight, possibly next week, but we have got so much to praise the Lord for. And I want you to look at Psalm 146, verse number 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Now, I can just tell you, as a pastor, I've met some people who didn't have much being left anymore. And I'm taking the Word of God very literally when it says that, have any being. Because I've met some folks that I knew they were closer to the other side than they were this side, if I could be so bold as to say that. But I've met some wonderful Christians in their last moments on this earth. As long as they had any mind, they were just still praising the Lord. Some of them in such pain, yet they were still just praising the Lord, thanking God for His faithfulness. And people ask you sometimes, I know some scoffers and some skeptics, they say, well, how can you say all that stuff is true? Well, I know you can't necessarily use this as a proof to that person who's a scoffer and a skeptic and a doubter, but I tell you, if you had an open mind and you'd seen some of the things where people at the very end of life are still with difficulties and pain and problems, they're still giving glory to the Lord and saying that He is giving them grace to get through this. I'm telling you, friend, that is a lot in the realm, or toward the direction of proving that this salvation is a true doctrine, and there's really life to it. So again, praise the Lord. And while it says at the end of verse number 2, while I have any being. And sometimes I meet folks that say, preacher, it's gone so wrong in my life. And they don't say it, but what they mean is, I don't really have much to praise the Lord for. Oh, my friend, listen, while you've got any being, while you've got breath, while you've got anything going for you, then you've got things to praise the Lord for. And we won't labor long on that, but we're going to get right into the lesson. But while we have any being. All right, let's look at, as we get started here. If you downloaded the handout, we started with point number 5. That's because last week, 1 through 4 we covered. So that was intentional on that part. But point number 5, we're going to look here. We're going to praise God for His attributes. We're going to praise God for His attributes. You say, what's an attribute? That's just what a part of them, how they behave. Their attribute is part of their character, their makeup. And so we praise God for His attributes. Now, there's plenty of them, but we're going to give you 4 this evening, and I trust that these will be a blessing to you. One thing you hear about people when they talk about raising kids, they say, well, be careful not to praise the kid too much. Make sure you don't praise something they're really good at, a talent that they have. Be careful to praise a character, or be careful to praise obedience, or be careful to praise. And sometimes I think people go too far on either side. Some think their children can do no wrong, and then some people don't ever give their kids a break. So there's probably a medium there. But what I would like to speak to tonight is this. Parenting experts a lot of times advise that instead of just saying, oh, you're such a good kid, you're such a this, you're this, you're this, you're that, you're such a this, you're such a wonderful, all that. Instead of saying that you should pick out true things in their lives to say, you do this well, you obey, you're a diligent worker, you complete tasks, you listen, you are kind to so-and-so. I saw you do this, and that was a blessing. I think that we're wise when we start doing that. But regardless of how you praise people, and if it is true that you can be too liberal with your praise of certain people, you can't be too liberal with your praise to God. You can't praise Him too much. You cannot go overboard on praise to the Lord. Now, people may get tired of hearing you. They may not want to hear it, but you cannot go overboard on praising the Lord. Let's look, if you will, at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 21. 2 Chronicles back toward the beginning of the New Old Testament, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 21. The Bible says here in this passage that we're the first thing that we're looking at in His attributes, God's attributes, that we praise Him for, we find in verse number 21 of chapter 20. The Bible says this, and when He had consulted, let me see here, make sure I find my place. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. And when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. This is in the midst of a victory over some enemies that God had given to the people of God. And so in the course of this celebration, He had appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of His holiness. There's a lot of things in this verse, and one of which is when people say, well, I don't think God would be mad at this. Well, God's, the Bible says His anger never ceases against sin because He's holy. And you understand what we ought to praise God for is His holiness. As the seraphims and cherubims that they bow and say, holy, holy, holy. You understand there are beings, created beings that God has made that their job is to just say over and over to declare His holiness and declare who He is and His majesty, His authority, and His holy. And that we understand that we should praise the Lord because He is holy. You understand who we are? Thank God if you're saved, then we're seen through the eyes of through the blood of Jesus Christ and we're seen as forgiven. Thank God for that. But you understand who we are. We're unholy men without the blood of Jesus Christ. We are those that are in need of, we deserve to be cast into hell. We are the worst of the worst. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not the worst. I'm not bad compared to so-and-so. That's like comparing one car in the junkyard to another car down here that's been there a few years longer. You say, wow, look how good this is. Look at this car. It's only smashed up on the front and the back. Compared to that one down there that's smashed on the front and the back and the left and the right side, compared to that one, this car is great. But they're both in the junkyard. And so when we look and we say, well, look, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, my friend, we're comparing junk to junk. Because us, in ourselves, I'm not trying to get down anybody's ego and certainly not trying to get your self-esteem down, but I'm just saying the good things in us is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in us. And He, my friend, is holy. And tonight we need to praise Him. Lord, praise You because You're a holy God. You are the God, the only God, the holy God. And we praise Him for, first of all, for His holiness. I want you to look over in the New Testament, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. After this, we'll come back to Psalms. But Ephesians chapter number 1, and we see that we should, according to the Bible, not only praise Him for His holiness, but then I think that this would get everybody tonight. We ought to praise Him for His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. My friend, if we quit right now and we just said that's the last point of the last sermon of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, there would be enough to go on for us to think about, meditate, muse on from here on until God takes us home. The grace of God. Easily put, the unmerited favor of God. God gives us what we don't deserve, the mercy He puts forth, but then the grace He gives us, unmerited favor. We are able to be seen as holy. We are able to be seen as righteous. We are able to be seen as able to enter heaven, all because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, we ought to praise God. Look at the verse again. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And what did He do? The Scripture says, wherein He hath made us accepted. Now, everybody likes to be accepted. I don't even care if it's the people that say, oh, no, I don't like society. I like to be outside of it. Everybody, some dress up in goth, and some people do this, that, or the other, just so they can be out of the mainstream. But did you ever notice when whatever somebody dresses in, or however they act, or whatever they put on, or whatever they drive, or however it is, and they say, I don't want to be the norm, but you know what they always do? they go find them a group of people so they can fit in with that group. If they all like black fingernail polish and all this, then they go find some other people who like that. They say, we don't want to be associated with everybody else, but then they go find some other people to be associated with. We all like to be accepted. Somebody says, I don't like all those shirt and tie and all that. I'm going to get me a plaid shirt and a pair of blue jeans. And what do? You find somebody else with a pair of blue jeans and a plaid shirt. Nothing wrong with any of that. I'm just saying what I mean is we all like to be accepted. You know, you may not like in the big group over there, but you want to have a group. And what the Scripture says here, we praise God for His grace wherein He hath made us accepted. Lord, help us if we can't praise the Lord for being accepted in the Beloved. My friend, we get to go to the same heaven that the Apostle John did. We get to go to the same heaven that the other disciples did. We get to go to the same heaven that the Old Testament saints, when we'll see them there as well. And not to mention the heaven that Jesus is in. And He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again. I'll receive you, who? Unto myself. And my friend, the only way that that's even possible is by the grace of God. A lot of churches were called Grace Baptist Church because as the pastor was starting it, they were just probably consumed with the thought of grace. Having God move in on a situation that without Him moving in would have been hopeless and helpless. So we ought to praise God for His grace. Look back, if you will, in Psalm 135. And we'll stay here for a little while. Psalm 135. We see the holiness of God. Remember, don't be so worried about, well, the holiness of God would knock me out. Yes, that's will, but where the holiness of God shut you out, the grace of God brought you in. That's where we're in the Beloved. And now we see Psalm 135, verse number 5. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. That's 135, verse 5. That's a good one, too. They're all good, as a matter of fact. But verse number 3 is where I really want to go. Praise the Lord, verse 3, Psalm 135. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Now listen, folks, I know that if we're putting God on trial every day to say, well, I'm going to see whether He's good because of what He does today. And there'll be some days when it seems like the bad is kind of stockpiled on you. But my friend, I believe if you give an honest look at your life today, and I know we've got a lot of folks that have sickness right now. I know we've got a lot of folks that are having difficulties right now. But I believe if you give an honest look at what's going on, you would say to yourself that, God, You have been good to me. I can tell you this, is God's been good to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Not because I'm the pastor. He's been good to the church for a long time before that, but He's certainly been good to us since I've been the pastor as well. He's been good to us. If you've got a family, if you've got a spouse, if your spouse is gone but in heaven, if your spouse has left you, yet you still have the presence of the Lord in your life and you still have the goodness of God in your life, I'm just telling you, my goodness of the Lord is something that we should praise Him. We often all the time praise Him when something good happens that we consider good. But you ever notice that some of the things that we don't consider good, God turns them around and makes them good for us. We always praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, I got a new car. But if your car is pushing 200,000 miles and it smokes and uses about as much oil as it does gasoline, then praise the Lord for it. Put it in every time you stop and just be thankful for the goodness of God. My friend, we've gotten so materialistic that we just think that, wow, look at all these things. If these things happen, then I'm going to say God's good. If none of those things happen, if your pipes are leaking and you've got problems, the roof is leaking from the top and the pipes are leaking from the bottom, then God's still good. You understand that He's not good because of the little specific things, because He could change any of it if He wanted to. He's not good because He makes little good things happen to you that you and I consider good. He's good because that's who He is. You look at somebody and you say, wow, they do this bad. You know what we do? We sin. We're sinners. We're saved sinners if you're saved by the blood of Christ. And we're saints in the eyes of God, thankful for that. But we do one thing good. We sin. And some of you wives will say, well, my husband does a lot of good things. He messes this up and he messes that up and he messes the other up. Yes, I understand. We mess things up because that's who we are. But God is good. Not because he gave you a new car, because the house is not leaking right now, or it's a new house. Yes, those are all wonderful things. And I certainly think when those things happen, you should say, praise the Lord, you've given us all this. But if it starts going bad the other way, praise the Lord, God, you're good in the midst of it. We ought to praise God for his goodness. You're at Psalm 135, look over Psalm 138. 138, verse number 2, the Bible says, not only should we praise him for his holiness, for his grace, for his goodness, but then Psalm 138, verse number 2, we ought to praise him for his kindness. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know any verse that's any kinder. When we were sinners, our Savior died on the cross for us. Before we were born, wherefore as by sin man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's the shape we were in. But his kindness, his goodness, brought our Savior to this earth to be mocked and ridiculed, beaten and killed and buried. My friend, it's the kindness of God. The grace. You say, are we praising for his grace or are we praising him for his kindness? Yes. Are we praising him for his goodness or are we praising him for his holiness? Yes. We're praising him for all of it because he's all of those things. So we see we ought to praise God for his attributes. But not only that, look at next, if you would. We ought to see, you can turn to Psalm 148, that we see that all nature praises God. Let me explain I'll show you what I mean by that in the scriptures. Psalm 148, verse number 7. The Bible says, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hails, snow, vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Fulfilling his word? Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. These things praise the Lord. We could go on, both young men and maidens, old and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name is alone is excellent, and his glory is above all the earth and heavens. But I want you to see that praise the Lord from the earth, you dragons or you monsters, you huge animals and all deeps, fire and hail, snow, vapors, all of these things. All nature praises the Lord. I was at Mom and Dad's right before we came here, I guess. So one of Dad's cows was having a calf, and so we didn't have to do anything with it. We did try to make sure it got up on the dry part just because it was raining, and a little low spot there, a little creek comes through. But you know, as you watch the miracle of an animal giving birth to a young, and you say, well, that's just, they learned that from the other cows. Well, how about that first year heifer that hadn't seen that from some other cow? I'm saying a very specific illustration is that just the birthing process of an animal, I'm not even speaking of us humans, it gives glory to the Lord that God puts the knowledge in that animal, the instinct, whatever you call it, the instinct to know that they got to get that calf up quick, clean it off, and take care of all the stuff that came with that, and that calf's got to get back there and eat real quick. My friend, that's, you say, oh yeah, I've been around that all my life. Maybe you have, but every time it's a billboard pointing up to God to say somebody is up there that put this knowledge even in a dumb animal, not to mention us as humans. I'm just saying all nature praises the Lord. Doesn't matter if you're looking at that or you're looking at other things. It's amazing how smart animals are. If you watch them, and you'll see that they can tell you a lot about how bad the rain's going to be. They can tell you a lot about if it's coming or when it's not, because God just gives them some instinct and some ways to know those things. It's amazing. And those are animals. And then you look at us humans, and you look at our ability, and somebody says, oh yeah, there you go, preacher. That's right. You look at our ability. But then you look at our ability, and you realize that you look at that, back to my analogy of comparing one car in the junkyard to another one. And then you look at, why is one person able to do something that's just astounding, and another person is not able really to figure out much about life because they've got some deficiencies in one area or another? It's all given by the Creator that someone's able to do something for the good of the rest of us. I just say those just a couple little illustrations to tell you that all nature praises the Lord. All nature praises the Lord. Look, if you will, at Psalm 148 on your list. If you download it, it's 143, but that's a mistake. 148 and verse number 3, just up from where we're at. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise all ye stars of light. Just last week or the week before, we went a little bit about the sun, the moon, and the stars, I believe, on another lesson. But just to remind you that all of these things praise the Lord. You say, wow, you're getting into New Age creation worship. Oh, I'm not a bit. Not a bit. I'm just telling you that when that sun comes up, that's a testimony to the goodness of God. This world that spins around, I think I told you that we live in such a beautiful section of America, let alone of the world. We get to experience seasons and we get the beauty of it all. But the fact that it comes around, and you can count on it coming around next year like this, if Jesus tarries is coming for us, you can count on it coming around. That's the goodness of God. That's a testimony of who God is. And for us to say, well, I don't know about all that. Really, are we actually ready to say that this big world, this big globe that we're all standing on, just happened as a cosmic accident? My friend, you've got to have more faith to that, to believe that, than what I'm believing. To say that this all, through a big bang, and as these things were spinning, some of the gaseous things off of those were spinning, and those became planets, and something became the sun, and then they all just stuck out there, and now they rotate around, and they make their way around on a yearly basis. To believe all that happened as some kind of cosmic burp or an accident, again, friend, you'd have to have more faith than I do. We see that the sun, the moon, the stars, it praises the Lord. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Now you can't see them tonight, the stars, but on a clear night, you walk out there. And I believe if somebody hadn't been messed with by somebody trying to disprove God, okay, so you with me this far? Somebody that hasn't been tainted or messed with by someone who's trying to disprove God, if you just take somebody on their own thoughts and you take them and set them in a field in a northeast Tennessee farm and a beautiful starry night and tell them, what do you think about all that? If it's a reasonably intelligent person and they've been able to make some things with their hands and they're being able to see that it takes a maker, a creator, to build a table, to build a house, to build all these things, if that person hasn't been tainted by somebody trying to disprove God, I believe they're going to look up and say, if they're honest, they say, boy, somebody with a big ability made that up there. You take somebody in certain ages of our nation, and they were building these skyscrapers. I was watching a little bit of a documentary the other day on some of these skyscrapers in our major cities. They were built back before some of the technology we have now. I was watching these guys when they were throwing those hot rivets up and catching them in these big funnels and then giving them out to guys, and they'd pound on those and build these big steel buildings. And you take the knowledge that it took to make those, And that building is nothing compared to one of those stars that just hangs out there. That building is nothing compared to some of the miracles that we get to see in nature with the sun, the moon, the stars. I'm just saying the sun, the moon, the stars praise Him. And then we mentioned one time before, but in Psalm 148, verse number 2, the angels praise Him. Praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him and all His hosts. I was just telling you this evening, folks, we've got a lot to praise God for. And I know there's a whole segment of society that would laugh and ridicule at you for saying that there's a superior being, there's a God. But again, I believe that if you had a half an honest outlook, you would see enough in the world that we live in to know. Oh, you may not believe everything that I believe about this book, and you know we may differ on some things, but if you had a halfway honest outlook, I believe you'd look up and say, well, there's got to be a God up there. You may not call Him that, but you'd say there's got to be somebody better than me, bigger than me, that made all this. And my friends, I'm telling you that there is somebody who made all this. Jehovah God, the God of this Bible. Not only did He make all this world for us to live on, but He's also the one that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on this earth to pay for your sins and my sins. Remember, I told you that not only should we praise God for His goodness and for kindness and grace, but we ought to praise Him for His holiness. And His holiness dictates that all sin must be paid for. And my sin and your sin could not go unnoticed. Your sin and my sin need to be paid for by Jesus Christ. And so that's where grace came in. We praised Him for His holiness because that's who He is, but we praised Him for His grace because that's what He did. And the grace of God provided salvation for you and for me. My friend, if you're listening or watching tonight and you're not sure that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, can I challenge you both either literally or figuratively that you hit your knees and you thank God that He sent Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that you cry out to Him and you ask Jesus to save you and forgive your sins. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His grace and be saved. I'll leave you with this one last passage, Luke 19. The Bible says when Jesus was ministering on the earth and some folks were complaining as they often did. Luke chapter 19, verse number 37. As Jesus was coming in, a triumphal entry, and people were praising Him, and then others were complaining. And when He was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, I'm in Luke 19, verse number 37. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They were praising God, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Understand that God doesn't need us to praise Him. We need to praise Him because He could have other plans. Verse number 40, "And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." On that day, Jesus was going to get praised. His disciples got the privilege of being involved in the dynamics of praise. But had they not, Jesus said, then these stones could call out. And my friend, you and I, God doesn't need us to praise Him, but we need to have the right outlook, the right mindset, so we do praise Him for our own benefit and because He commands it. So tonight, I give you some homework. It's 7:45. This homework is for you. If you live by yourself, then you got it easy. If you live with your spouse, then you got it easy as well. But it's also easy if you got a family. Oftentimes when me and the kids and Amy will sit around, we'll just, oftentimes we've done this, you've done it as well, in Sunday school, or junior church, or somewhere. We just go around the room, tell us something that you're praising the Lord for. So you've got homework tonight, folks. Before you go to bed, everybody in your house, if they'll participate, you ought to get them to tell you something they're praising the Lord for. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for that. You know, it's a habit that we can get into. Now, yes, we can get into it in such a habit that we don't put heart into it. I got that. That's always a danger on any habit. But many of us, we need to start developing that habit. Praise you, Lord. I can tell you this. There's enough in your life to praise Him for, or there's enough to get bickering and complaining about if you look for that. But I'm challenging you to be a biblical Christian. If we're a biblical Christian, we're going to be a praising Christian. If you're watching tonight, you need help or you need some spiritual guidance or something that we can do for you, I challenge you to call. There's somebody watching the phones, 423-477-3311. 423-477-3311. Or if you have some prayer requests you'd like to put on to me and the staff, it's prayer@brbc.us. prayer@brbc for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, prayer@brbc.us. And I challenge you, if you'd like for us to pray with you about something, you just let us know, call us, email us. But I challenge you tonight to be a praising Christian. The Bible says it's very clear who's supposed to be praising Him. Everything, let everyone, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. The animals already do their part. God makes us, we can watch them, we say, look at the intricacy and how they behave, how they raise their young, and how they do this, how they do that. How'd that happen? An almighty God. The sun comes up, praises God by its position up there, and draws attention to men, women, boys, and girls to look up there. People have been enamored with the sun since God made it. I mean, since He created man. And it does its job, praises the Lord. The stars in the night many times have got a man thinking, well, if those stars are up there, somebody had to make those stars. That moon, it's not only been sung about, it's not only had walks done under it, but it's also caused a lot of men and a lot of ladies to look up and say, look at the beauty of that. And the quietness of a moonlit night. There have been a lot of people that have said, wasn't somebody on my level that put that up there? So the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, they're doing their job praising the Lord. It's us humans that sometimes fall behind. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank You for letting us gather together tonight. Lord, we praise You. Lord, thank You. Lord, we worship You. We praise You. Praise Your name. Let every one of us that hath breath praise You. And we'll thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Hope you have a great rest of the week. Again, if you need something, please reach out to us, 423-477-3311. Challenge you at the beginning of this two-month or so ordeal we've been through to keep in contact one with another. Please keep that up. Let's be the church that God would want us to be connected and be meeting each other's needs. So call us, call each other. God bless you. Have a wonderful night.